Welcome to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Hey everybody, welcome to today's edition of the Salt and Light Podcast. I am your host, Chuck Fulkerson, joined by the fastidious Annie Fulkerson.
Fastidious? Fastidious. That means that you can...
That means
you're
that you're
efficient and you can...
Meticulous.
Like, yeah.
It means you're meticulous.
All right. Do I get points for that one?
Close. You are almost...
That's the closest I think I've ever gotten since we started adjective challenge.
That is pretty close.
Yeah.
But,
I have fingers and toes crossed on that one because Lauren's not here. I couldn't phone a friend.
Well, you are... I mean, there's no question. You're meticulous. And the reason that I say you're meticulous today was because people didn't realize that last night you go to bed and you were so worried about your click list order from Kroger. That's what kept you up at night because you didn't get it entered the right way. And this morning, the first thing that you do is pick up your phone and you've got to make sure that it's done right.
There were coupons expiring this morning and I spent $260 and saved $82.
You're talking and all I hear is blah, blah, blah.
And I'm thinking that the mom who's joining us tonight will really appreciate the fact that I saved $82 on a $260 bill.
Boom.
Hmm.
Boom.
So
you just dropped the mic. The mic has officially been dropped. Don't drop those mics. They're not cheap. We actually have, we've had guests the last few weeks. We're not going to be able to do this without guests here coming up real soon.
I'm going to forget how to talk to you.
It's going to be, you always forget how to talk to me. You should talk to me reverently.
That is actually a great segue for what we're going to talk about
That's
tonight.
Awesome. You want to intro Dean?
Yeah. So we have a super awesome couple on tonight. And it was sort of an interesting story of how we met. You used to work in Phoenix. And Phoenix had this crazy real estate time where it was actually cheaper to buy a condo than it was to rent.
Yeah.
So we needed an agent.
And I had the pleasure of meeting Dean. So Dean Ouellette and his wife Jess are here joining us. Hi, guys.
Hello. How you doing?
That's awesome. Glad you guys are here. Dean, I don't know if you remember, but when we met, it was back in 2009. And I was looking to pick up a condo, and you took me to a house that I swear there were chickens in the front yard.
I don't remember that house. But,
well, you've shown a lot of them, and I remember that there were chickens in the front yard, and that the walls were purple and yellow. It was awesome. I felt like I had walked into a place where Grimace had murdered Ronald McDonald.
We call those Skittles houses.
Well, it was perfect. So yeah, no, I've had the pleasure of knowing Dean now since 2009, 2010. Kind of knew each other in a professional relationship. But what's really neat is, you know, Annie and I decided to be snowbirds there for a while in Phoenix and got to know, you know, Dean and Jess and their wonderful family a little bit. Talked a little bit about the faith and kind of what they do. And now you don't even talk to me anymore. You just talk to my smarter half.
I was just curious, so on those opening adjectives, how long it takes Chuck to go to the thesaurus to find something to stump you every week?
Literally 10 seconds. I'm stumped in under 10 seconds.
I literally pick up my phone and I type adjective of the day because I know the story I want to talk about that stems the adjective. And so then I just go find one.
Yeah. I'm not easy to beat. It takes him about 10 seconds. So.
Yeah. It's not like math.
Yeah, so we've known each other for a good long while, and while we were snowbirds there, we found out that we went to the same church, which was fantastic. And it's amazing how God puts certain people in your life, because what we thought was just going to be, you know, a professional relationship and buying a condo here and there turned into a couple more deals, and then a friendship I really treasure. So. Even with all your sarcasm, Dean.
Well, it's definitely been my pleasure to help you guys out and, you know, get to know you guys better.
So tell us a little bit introduce us a little bit about to what you guys, you know, what you do and your family. You guys have an awesome, you know, family story to talk about and, so that people can get to know kind of who you are and stuff. And then I'd love to talk a little bit more. You guys have a really awesome topic that I think we could really dive into. And Annie's got her pages of notes that she's been doing her own research on. I know that's hard to believe.
Well, so, you know, we were pretty young. I've gone to Catholic school early in my life until third grade, and then fell away from faith completely. I met Jess when I had graduated from high school, and she was going into her senior year. We started dating, and a couple years after that, I joined the Coast Guard, and we ended up getting married pretty young. And, you know, Jess was a Protestant, and, you know, was pretty active in her faith, and I kind of kicked around the idea of going to her church now and then, and but really had fallen away from the faith completely. And then after we got married, I started going back to church a little more and started exploring my faith and, you know, realizing that if I was coming back to a faith, I wanted to be involved in the Catholic Church. And we, you know, had, like most people early on in our life, we had that great romance that, you know, newlyweds have. And then eventually we ended up having kids and jobs and stresses and ended up like many people, you know, in a disillusionment stage where we started drifting further apart. And it came to a point where we started talking about, are we going to keep doing this or are we going to get divorced? Actually talked to a divorce attorney, and this was after we had four kids, and Jessica came to me one day and said, we're going to this thing called Retrovi, which was an organization. It's a Christian organization, but it's mostly run by the Catholic Church.
Right.
And we started, she said, we're going to try to go to this Retrovi thing to try to work on our marriage. And I said, you know what? It looks like we're getting divorced. This is probably my fault that we're getting divorced. So anything for me to save face and say I tried. I had no real disillusionment that this was actually going to save our marriage, but I was willing to go through the steps and give it a shot.
This point, you're giving her 100% credit. Jess, that's awesome.
Very much so.
And admitting fault, that's pretty amazing.
Well, it was pretty easy.
It was a long time coming. No, it makes a great story, but
yeah, it's easy to look back at it 2020 and realize, you know, you were an idiot and you did stupid things, and, you know, going through it at the time though, rationalize anything.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Yeah.
And we were having problems, that's exactly what I did. And unfortunately we ended up at a place that, you know, could help our marriage.
And so if you could talk a little bit about Retrovi, it's not spelled anything like it sounds. I had to ask you yesterday to remind me the name of it, because I knew it sounded like a New Orleans kind of word with tons of vowels that you don't really pronounce. So if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Right. It came from Canada, but it means rediscovery. So
it, you know, it's a program that started to help out marriages. You know, the Catholic Church looked at what was going on and said, you know, we have a problem in this culture. And, you know, as St. Lucia was told in Fatima, the last great battle is going to be over the family. And we think that that's happening right now, looking at what's going on with marriages and culture. So Retrovi started out up in Canada, as Jessica mentioned, and started spreading to the United States and has grown over the years. And it's basically a weekend program where you go there to rediscover each other and you learn tools to work on your marriage. And you spend all weekend working on these tools. And then after your weekend, you have a once a week, 12-week follow-up program where you're basically going to class to dive into everything that you learned and, you know, reinforce it and dig deeper. We have a little more time, and that happens for 12 weeks. And then many people after that continue on in the ministry at a thing called CORE, which is continuing our Retrovi experience, which allows them to, you know, meet with other couples who are going through different problems and the same problems and continue to grow together as couples in the community.
And I'm sorry, Jess, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the weekend consists of three presenting couples who have been through the program themselves. So they're ordinary people who have had problems themselves. And then a priest is also there on the weekend. So for me, it was very valuable to have other people say, look, we're going through struggles too, because for a long time, I felt like I am not doing this right, and this is not how it's supposed to be, but like, I didn't want to talk to anybody else about how difficult it was, because there's, you know, as a young mom, there's a lot of people out there who you just sort of have to like save face of, oh, I've got this all together. There's a lot of that kind of feeling out there. And so to be in a community where people are like, oh yeah, we have problems too. And, you know, we're struggling and we don't have all the answers, but we're here to help you. That was huge for me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really a valuable point, because we live in a social media dominated culture where everything is peaches and cream and roses, and it doesn't seem like anybody is ever dealing with, you know, anything that's an issue. And so I think, studies have been done time and time again, talking about just the effect on teens, never mind adults, and the pressure that they feel of keeping up with their peers and how many likes did I get. And I think that trickles into adulthood too. So that's a really valuable, point. I was wondering who exactly started it, and how did they form, like you said, it's Christian, but mostly run, you know, mostly Catholic, I think you said, Dean. So how exactly do they structure like the talks, and what about it makes it Catholic?
It originally stemmed out of Marriage Encounter, because people who were saying, okay, well, this is a great program, but it doesn't necessarily work for us where we are right now in our marriage. I don't know the names of the people that started it. But I do know that the way that it's structured is such that it helps the couples to learn a new communication method so that they can talk in a way that they're almost forced to listen to the other, which usually is a big problem in terms of marriage breakdown, is being able to feel heard and to be able to listen to what your spouse is trying to convey. So there's a lot about emotions and being able to express your emotions and to learn how to understand your spouse's emotion, and that they don't have to be, you don't have to have the same emotion about the same thing, but you have to be able to understand how to interpret or how to hear what your spouse is feeling.
And on the weekend, there is a priest who is part of the presenting team. So you have on stage at all time, you have one couple plus the priest, and the couples rotate throughout the weekend on the different talks. So, you know, it's very much a Catholic program, but we don't like to call it a Catholic program, for the reason is that it can help anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We had a weekend that we presented at about a year and a half ago where there was an atheist there. And they were able to go through the program, they were able to go through the posts, and they were able to continue on after that too. And so, you know, the tools are there for anyone. So we don't like to call it Catholic to scare somebody off who could benefit from it, but there is a priest involved and there is a mass at the end of it. So, you know, it's something that you'd be very familiar with.
Okay. So does it touch on any of, do you pull scripture into it at all? Or is it mostly just communication and delving into expectations and how to communicate those and stuff like that?
No, there's whole talks about how.
Yeah, there's talks about faith and the role that faith can play inside of marriage. And there's talks about, you know, how marriage is a sacrament. And there is scripture. There's not like a whole lot of scripture that you're going there, memorizing scriptures or anything like that. But mm-hmm. The scripture is worked into the presentations. You know, a presentation may be an hour and a half, and there's probably going to be a couple of scripture verses in there that tie it all together. So it is very, you know, faith-based like that. It's not something where it's beaten into you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of more of an overarching theme, but really focusing on the communication style more than anything, but the communication style using scripture as the backdrop. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I would say that's about right. And
yes,
us simpletons, you know. And I do want to say, you know, as we mentioned, it's called Retrovi, but, you know, Retrovi is hard to spell. So anyone who wants more information can always go to helpourmarriage.org.
I like that one.
Org. It's yeah. really easy.
Yeah, that's a heck of a lot easier. I'm just going to throw that out
If you
there.
Miss a U or an L, you'll never find
it's,
it.
I wasn't sure if it was Ratatouille or Retrovirus. No. No, that's awesome. And, you know, what's interesting is that, and nobody is immune to having friends, family, or themselves that need help in the marriage, right? That everybody knows somebody. But I think kind of what you said earlier, Jess, nobody really wants to talk about it. And I will tell you from a perspective of, especially the perspective of a dude, right? And I know I can't tell you how many times on my conversations with friends of mine, coworkers, my conversation has always been, what are you doing? That you've got, think first, save the marriage first, then come back later. Like, it's just, and I think oftentimes people, if they don't know what avenues and what angles are available to them, they'll just throw up their hands and give up a heck of a lot easier, because I do agree with you. There's a war on the family in general, and it starts with the parental units.
I think too, there's this overarching feeling of, well, something's not working and I just need to do what makes me happy.
Oh, I hate that crap.
We've seen so many marriages fall apart, like in the double digits.
Yeah.
It's really terrible.
I always tell my friends, my friends are always like, what's going to make me happy? And my answer is usually, I don't care what makes you happy. You got to do what's right, because happiness is fleeting. You know, there is the happiness that you feel right now is fleeting, and the true happiness is found in the sacrament. And when you can connect back with that, then you'll find that true happiness.
I think you find the joy, right?
Yeah, that's a better word.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we've learned going through this is, if we were talking to a normal group of people who, you know, we're not involved in the Catholic Church like we are, and, you know, we said, you know, here's where Justin and I marriage is, and this is all the things that we're going through, this is what we're doing to each other to hurt each other, maybe not on purpose, but how we're hurting each other, people would have looked at our marriage and said, yeah, you guys can probably be a good candidate for divorce, you know, your marriage is kind of broken. But luckily we found a community that said, no matter how bad you think your marriage is broken, there's something you can do, basically putting God in the middle, that can bring you back together. And you know, as, you know, Annie's homeboy likes to say, something to the effect of, you know, there is no hurt or no great evil that God can't overcome and make better from it, right? St. Thomas says something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, she's got it on the tip of her tongue. She's just not ready to lay it out yet.
But you know, when we see the presenters on stage, you know, there are cases where people just said, I'm not in love anymore. There are cases where pornography was involved and it hurt the marriage. There are cases where adultery was involved. There are cases where drugs and alcohol or other abuses were involved. So you see all these different things, and all these couples have overcome it. Why? Because they decided that that's the right thing to do. And I think that there's not a situation we haven't seen with hundreds of couples who we've seen come through the program where it wasn't a situation that could be healed if they were willing to work on it and stay with it.
What kinds of couples are you typically seeing? Like, you just talked about a wide range of problems, but are you mostly seeing newly married couples or old, you know, couples who have been married a long time, or is it just across the board? What kinds of couples are you seeing?
It's totally across the board. I mean, sometimes you have couples that have been married for 30 years, but now their children are grown and off, and so they have to refigure out how to deal with each other. There are couples that have been married maybe 2 years. So it's all over the place.
And based on, I'm just kind of curious, this isn't super Catholic-y, but I was just curious, when you see the, you know, the different age groups, are the same kinds of problems happening in, you know, the different age groups, or does that vary as well? You know what I mean? Like, are you seeing the same sorts of problems in a couple that comes in that's only been married 2 years as opposed to 30? Are they sort of the same issues? Is there a pattern, I guess, is what I'm trying to say?
Well, okay. So this is something we
and that's the engineer in me. That's a terribly insensitive question, but I'm curious.
Pornography covers the whole realm. I mean, I think that is an issue for no matter the age or the amount of time you've been married. I think that gets in.
Yeah, we listen to Matt Fradd a lot, and Matt Fradd talks about that a lot. I mean, he's got his whole book and his podcast. He's talked a lot about that.
Right, and that is something that we've seen. If I was to say there is a reason that the couple is willing to say is the reason that they're there, that's probably the most relevant reason right now. I mean, that we see the most. But I think almost every couple we see really has the same problem. They were never really taught how to communicate with each other in a way where you hear what the other person is saying, not just the words coming out of their mouth, but the feelings that are behind it and what that person really is hurting about. And if we could take – I believe that if we could take the lessons that we learn in Retrovi and really teach them up front before they got married, we'd prevent a lot of these problems. So this – adultery, so this pornography, so this, you know, not in love anymore. It's all really comes down to my spouse isn't giving me the attention I want, or, you know, I don't feel that they're giving me the attention I want, so I'm going to lash out in some way. And if we learned how to communicate better and listen to each other and dialogue well, we could avoid a lot of these problems.
See, Annie has it easy because I just don't have any feelings. I'm kind of dead inside.
He's kind of dead inside.
So it's easy. She's got no problem to communicate with my non-existent feelings.
I don't have to worry about hurting his feelings.
Guys like to say that, but guys have to figure out how to figure out what their feelings are too. That's part of the...
So I typically have two feelings, hungry and hungrier. Do those count?
Occasionally hangry.
So I was very much like Chuck, where before I went, you know, I never wanted to talk about feelings, you know, and I still, it's not something I like to talk about. Say, oh, let's go talk about our feelings. You know, you never hear those words.
That's like saying, I want to express myself in the art of dance.
Yeah, exactly. Some words are just not going to come across my lips. But at the same time, what I learned is that when you're giving a long list of words and you're willing to talk to your spouse about, okay, here's the situation and this is how I feel about the situation, there are other emotions there that us guys, and I'm going to stereotype, us guys typically don't think about and typically don't want to communicate about. But once we're taught to look, okay, what's really going on here, it opens up a whole new world. And you'll still never hear me say, hey, Jess, let's go in the bedroom and talk about our feelings. And
what happened?
But the conversation will happen.
So can you elaborate a little bit more about that? You said there's some common things that typically men would, you know, would feel. So what are some of those things, like for our male listeners or female listeners who may be having some issues with their spouses, what are some of those common?
Well, I would say what we're really taught to do is we'll pick a subject that we want to talk about. Let's say that we're having a fight over, you know, where to send a kid to school, right? What you learn to do is phrase it in a question, and you each kind of write about or think about what that question is. And then you come up with, okay, this is how I feel about that. And then kind of express, you know, what your feeling is like so that you have an idea. So, you know, when I first started, you know, I would have say my feelings were mad and my feelings were angry and, you know, maybe happy. You know, I didn't have a whole lot on the feelings.
Keep that emotional spectrum light. That's the way I like it.
Exactly. But, you know, when we're talking about a subject that may not be the answer for, you know, there are different ways. And you don't have to get all mushy about your feelings. You just identify your feeling of happy and then kind of tell how in what ways you're happy. And it gives your spouse a completely different understanding. Because Jess and I could be talking about something, and we have examples. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But we could use the same exact word as what our feeling is. But what I think of that feeling and what she thinks of that feeling could be two completely different things.
Right. So, for example, happy. I could be thinking of happy like I just gave birth. And he could be thinking of happy like...
he just had a beer.
Yeah. Right.
like he's drinking bourbon.
So there's different levels of happy. Just because somebody says they're happy doesn't mean it's the same thing. So it's sort of delving into that emotion to figure out what it means so that you understand how the other person is experiencing that emotion.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this is just communicating expectations to people that isn't exclusive to marriage in general. I think it has to do with all of our relationships, whether it's an acquaintance or a friend or a parent, and relationships evolve over time. And I think we need to learn how to manage those expectations of each other as well. Because if we can't manage those expectations, then we can't communicate. And that's where I think relationships kind of break down. And if we don't have those as a foundation, then it's kind of hard to participate in the grace of that sacrament of something that's so, so special like marriage.
Yeah. And I want to stress, you know, if I was told before the weekend that, because you're not really told before the weekend what it's going to be like. If I was told we're going to go there to talk about our feelings, I probably never would have went through that front door, honestly. And we would not, absolutely would not be sitting here right now talking to you and have the four new angels that we do since that day. So in a way, I'm glad I didn't prejudge it and kind of know in my mind what it was going to be like before I had the chance to experience it, because it was a complete different experience than I would have thought. Just telling me you're going to go there and learn how to deal with feelings.
Hmm. And Jess, what do you think from a female perspective? You know, Dean talked a little bit about the male's perspective going into that. Do you find that women are mostly leading their husbands into, you know, the program, or are they kind of dragging their husbands kicking and screaming, or how does that work from a female perspective?
I think it's pretty equal in terms of who is the leader in terms of getting their spouse to the weekend. They do an interview prior to the weekend to make sure that both participants are willing, because it doesn't work if both participants are not willing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really force someone into retrodime. But I think earlier what we were talking about is that there are just sort of ways that females react and males react. Like, I think, you know, males are more willing to, they like to fix things, and women just want to be heard. I mean, those are some of those
yeah,
stereotypical kinds of things that are really true.
Yeah. The way it works as a man is you just stop talking and let me fix the problem.
Right.
And that's something that we talk about in one of our presentations, is when Jess used to get upset over something, my reaction was exactly that. It's like, okay, stop crying. Crying is a waste of time. We'll just fix this problem and it won't be a big deal. But what I wasn't hearing is that she had an issue that was a little bit bigger than I was willing to deal with at the time or willing to recognize at the time. So, you know, I would say to guys out there, and I'm speaking directly to guys out there, is you guys need to knock it off, because what we know is that men, and Jesus said it, right? I created man, I created a woman, brought them together, and they became one. And let no one come between them. That's exactly where we're at right now as guys, is we need to step up as a head of the family and say, look, our marriage is broken. We're not going down the right path. We're not being a good example for our children and how their marriages should be in the future. So we need to take action on figuring out how to fix it. And for us, Jess took the action on that for Retrovi, because I didn't know about it and I probably wouldn't have done it, but I'm glad that she did. And I'm glad that I went through it. And because we hear from our kids all the time now is, you know, our oldest daughter, who is off to college this year as a freshman, you know, she says to her friends that she hopes that she can have a marriage like ours someday. Now, that's completely different than her earlier memories, which were a story that she told us once, where she took her younger sisters into the other room while Jess and I were fighting and basically huddled them around and said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So, you know, after hearing that, that broke our heart. But luckily that was, you know, well after we were on our way to fixing what was already broken.
She called me the other night and said, I want to go to Retrovi. I just don't want my marriage to be broken.
Maybe because she could use it as like a pre-Cana kind of thing. Yeah, and I think that has so much to do with what, you know, you brought up what you know, Christ's words and everything, and there's so much of that in Ephesians, right? And I think that the man's role is, of course, Christ's role that he took with his own church, and we can't divorce it, God's covenantal love, that hesed, the covenantal love, from our own marriages. Because if we don't truly, I think we don't truly understand God's covenantal love for us, we miss the point of what our covenantal love should be with one another, right? And we can't divorce that love from the cross either, because Christ suffered for our glory. But what does that mean, right? I think Christ suffered, he sacrificed, and he is the groom, and the bride is the church. And so if Christ suffered, so the man is intended to lay down his life for his bride. And so I think too often in Ephesians, we look
at... It does say wives obey your husbands. I'm just saying.
It says to submit yourself and to give yourself over to your husband. But the other part of that is so often missed.
We can skip the other part.
No, that is so often missed is that we should be willing to be submissive to our husbands because they are sacrificing their life for ours. And if we miss that covenantal relationship, then we disjoin, you know, the sacrament of marriage.
Right. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And one thing I like to say is, you know, I give the example of, you know, let no man come between once they're married, man and wife. We also have to remember that no man come between could be us. You know, if we're the ones looking at pornography, or we're the ones in an adulterous relationship, or we're the ones not talking to our spouse, that person coming between us, it doesn't have to be somebody from the outside. That could be somebody from within inside the marriage who's coming in between that couple inside that marriage. So we need to always be paying attention to that.
And I think, you know, it's funny you mention that, because as you were talking earlier about, you know, nothing come in between, what it made me think of is that other person that lives inside of us called our ego. Because with our own ego, we tend to want to be right sometimes more than want to, and by right I mean correct, more than do what's right. And so sometimes our own ego gets in the way and gets in the middle, and that's a hard thing to learn how to check. You know, especially if you're and I think as people have more of, if you get married in your 30s or your 40s and you've been single for a large part of your life, that's probably even harder. Just a thought.
Yeah, I think you said you guys met when you were really young, and Chuck and I met before I was even 21. In fact, on our first date, he thought I was drinking a rum and Coke, and I was like, I'll just have a Pepsi on the rocks, thanks. But I think I look,
got married,
so. Right? Yeah. And you know, I see that, I look back and see that as a blessing, because I was so young and had given myself to him, and we grew together. So so I didn't have like my established ways, so to speak.
Yeah, you were 22 when we got married, and I was 51. I think
something like that. I think it was.
No, I was 26.
You had only slightly more hair than you do now.
Oh, come on! You had to go there, seriously? You wait till the adjective you get next week.
I mean, we went out with dinner with you guys, what, just a couple years ago, and he had a lot more hair than that.
Well, yeah. I still have more hair than this. For those of you that don't know, yes, I am completely bald, chrome dome. But the reason that I'm completely bald, that's by choice, because I really have none on the top of the very, very top of my head. I call that the island green, because it's all by itself.
And then he had like the
itself.
Receding flanks from the forehead.
And the receding flanks. So when you have island green plus receding flanks, you look like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. I had a lot of hair around the back of my head and on the sides, but the top was not looking good.
You got to bring back that comb over, Chuck.
Yeah, it was too thin even to do that. I thought about getting the spray hair.
He wrestles too much with the boys, though, so.
Yeah, and what's funny is my children absolutely hate the fact that my head is shaved. They hate it. They tell me all the time. My five-year-old looks at me and says, Daddy, go outside and get some dirt, and you can water it and the sun and grow it.
Yeah, talk about communication. Have you
tried it? No, that didn't work. Yeah, so our communication's broken down. So, you know, outside of Retrovi, I mean, you guys obviously have helped so many couples and have done a lot of really good works. Do you recommend any other, you know, kind of couples retreats or things like that, you know, just to rekindle or to stay in touch or to stay communicating or something like that? I mean, what's your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, we don't have firsthand knowledge, but we know that Marriage Encounter is highly recommended. I got to go.
Oh.
All right, so she has a slight medical emergency. Should we find
her?
I'm
going to put a
battery in. So, yeah, Marriage Encounter is something that a lot of couples in our church are involved with, which basically does a lot of the same things as far as helping with that communication, but it's not really teaching you how to deal with conflict. But it is teaching you ways to help develop, you know, a deeper understanding of each other and give you some of that tools on communication. Where Retrovi is kind of more of digging deeper into how to get to the bottom of an issue without fighting about it and being able to talk about it. And instead of, you know, the Marriage Encounter, which is more how to deal with it, you know, maybe issues that aren't something that's going to lead to a big fight. Retrovi is something that, you know, this could be a big fight. How do we get through it without getting there?
Yeah, because I know we do, you know, in our parish, there's a fair amount of marriage retreats. And I've always just kind of wondered if it's not like a, I don't know, recharge the batteries kind of thing when people get a chance to go on something like that. And, you know, I would encourage more people to do that. Frankly, I'd encourage us to do that. We probably should do that a little bit more regularly as I'm sitting here thinking that, and you're giving me that look of, hello.
Yeah, right, I'm always now the one who just wants to, like, fix the problem.
Right.
Like, we're just, come on.
That's what happens when you're married to a mechanical engineer.
We have a task engineer, a task-oriented engineer here.
You know, as I talk to other couples through social media and on message boards and stuff from around the country, what I realize is how the Catholic Church right now is, in some areas, like our parish, they are promoting marriage heavy. They're doing, you know, special nights a few times a year for couples to come together and, you know, it could be a Valentine's Day dance or something like that, but social events for couples to come together, where some parishes, it seems, are doing nothing. So I guess it kind of depends on where you are and who your pastor is. Luckily, we're blessed to have a great one here who really does help to promote marriage.
Yeah, you guys' church was awesome. When we were there for just that brief...
It was St. Bruno's, right? Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, right? Dean?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Or St. Timothy's, St. Bruno, St.
Listen, all I know is I really enjoyed it. I really did. I really liked, you know, while we were there, it was a different mass, because coming from the Northeast, it was, I mean, it's always the same mass, but it had a different feeling, if you will. So.
Yeah, it's definitely different, you know, coming from the Northeast, coming from traditional Catholic Church. When I first walked in, you know, it was kind of a little different. It actually took me a few years before I really enjoyed going to Mass there, because the music, you know, is a little more modern. It's a little more, you know, upbeat sort of thing, not the traditional hymns I was used to. So it really took me time. But now that I see, it's just, now that I'm more involved in the church, you see what a great community it is. And I think that is more important than, you know, what music is played at the Mass.
Yeah.
The building bothered him too. The building is not a traditional
cathedral right.
kind of building.
Right. Yeah.
So if people are interested in learning more about the program, could you mention the website again or how, you know, how people could get more information? Is it all over the country?
It's international.
And okay. If you go to helpourmarriage.org, there is a list of weekends there. So if there is not a weekend in your area, there is one that's, you know, a short travel to you. So, you know, if you lived in El Paso, maybe there isn't one in El Paso, but there is, you know, one somewhere in Texas or Tucson or something like that that you could get to.
And listen, men, a travel ticket is much less expensive than alimony.
Yeah.
Yes.
So no, I and Dean, how about people following you? So you've got you're all over social media. How can people follow you and so they can get to know a little bit more about what you're doing?
Well, I'm at Dean Ouellette on Twitter. That's probably the place I'm most active.
And if you love sarcasm, you can follow Dean.
And if you don't like political talk, then I would avoid me at all costs.
All right. Perfect. Well, we thank you guys so much for joining us. Did you have any last things you wanted to say?
No, I just want to say, you know, thank you for all you guys do. You know, this show, and I've listened to every one of your episodes. I've been a listener since the beginning because of our relationship. And I can tell you, as a avid podcast listener, your first few episodes were a little rough to listen to.
We know.
You guys have it down now, and you guys are doing a fantastic job. And Andy, I just got to ask you, that $260 food bill, was that for 2 days?
No, I've become quite frugal. Although with two growing boys, it's that grocery bill is lasting less and less time. So
yeah.
I'm sure I'll be calling Jess for some pointers.
Yeah, for us, $260, that'll last a whole 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah, just about five. Yeah, it might last me till Monday. I might be able to stretch it. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's embarrassing how empty the fridge was this morning.
Well, you know what? One thing that I guarantee she did buy? Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Always.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
I actually thought earlier on today I got to get some bacon and eat a piece in front of you on Skype here.
Perfect.
I didn't have time. I forgot about it.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you so much. All right. And cheers.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for joining us again. And St. Anthony the Abbot.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. Peace be with you.
You've been listening to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.